which may cause him to foul his breeches.
Yes?
Her pencil was paused over her ring-bound notepad.
I have reason to believe that these three strangers might be American terrorists bound on violence and sabotage. Go on, girl. Write that.
For a moment, he genuinely thought that Clerk Second Class Alisa Andreevna was going to faint dead away. Jack went out alone the next morning to scout for food, only to find that the small ville had taken some precautions. A deadfall trap had been cleverly concealed among the woods, as well as a couple of spring traps that fired sharpened lengths of pine at anything that triggered them. There was even a massive old iron bear trap with jagged broken teeth. If Doc had been with the boy, there was every chance that he would have stumbled over one of the devices. The villagers had a guard out, though the middle-aged man playing the part had fallen asleep against the wall of a hut near the smoldering remains of a banked fire. Now that they knew that someone from the outside was stealing from the ville, there was no point in planting any more red herrings. Jack went in, lifted as much food as he could possibly carry, and left the place in the opposite direction. He splashed through the stream, and then doubled back to throw off any potential pursuers. He reported the change to JB, who agreed it was an ominous development. They decided that they would now have to keep a constant and careful watch, splitting shifts with Doc. The old-timer would do 2 hours at a time, and Jack and JB would alternate 4 hours each.
They're closing in on us.
It was a bleak day, with low clouds scudding on the teeth of a biting easterly wind. Flakes of snow mingled with pattering hailstones, making walking a bitterly unpleasant chore. Rick Ginsburg had suffered from a kind of fit during the night, crying out so loudly that Ryan had considered knocking him out. He eventually settled for pressing his hand down over Rick's gaping mouth to muffle the sounds. The freezy's wasted muscles had jerked and twitched, sending him thrashing about on the dusty boards of the third-story room in the abandoned house. They had managed to get across the Moscow River the previous evening, over a bridge that seemed to have collapsed and been rebuilt a dozen times. The river itself was a ponderous gray snake, swollen with the spring meltwater. It surged at the piles of the bridge, carrying all manner of detritus. Tree trunks, scoured of their branches and bark, gleaming like huge skinned eels, rolled their way toward the distant ocean. A dead cow drifted past them, legs stiffly in the air, its bloated belly keeping it afloat. The house they'd found was more ravaged than any of those a mile farther out in the burbs. As Ryan had suspected, the sec patrols were thicker on the ground. Some traveled in open-topped multi-wheel wags, and some on foot in groups of three or four. By keeping a careful watch around, the three friends had managed to avoid any more direct confrontations with the sec men. Rick's seizure lasted nearly 10 minutes and left him drained of energy. It was obvious to both Ryan and Christy that he wasn't going to be able to keep moving for very much longer. Already, Ryan had decided that they would have to steal a wag to transport Rick and any tools to their hiding place out in the wastelands.
You better just leave me here, Ryan. You and Christy go look for what we want.
It's no go, Rick. Once we got the stuff, we can high-gear it out of the ville back to the others. Until then, we have to keep you with us. One question from a sec man and we could all be on the first wag to prison. You have to really try, Rick.
You sound like my granny. Best foot forward, shoulder to the wheel, chest out, feet together, take it on the chin. Pick up the beat, and don't forget your raincoat, your amphetamines, and your pearls. Oh, this is bullshit, isn't it? I don't wanna... I'm sorry, guys. I'm real sorry. I'll be fine when I get...
Let it out, Rick. You have to keep going. That's what makes the difference. It's going on when you don't reckon you can. Come on, let's go.
Once they got outside, huddling into their furs against the dreadful weather, Rick had another brief crisis when he couldn't recall the woman's instructions to find the places selling tools. He took several deep breaths, turned away from the others, then faced them again with a broad smile.
Okay. It's okay. I remember now. Past the ruins of the sports stadium, then hang a right past the gas depot... On by a market, and there's a line of white buildings.
Right. Keep it together, Rick. Keep watching for any sec men. Don't forget, We're Outlanders, and me and Christy can't talk her here.
Yeah, sure, sure. Now, the woman also said something about looking out for some sort of, I don't know, she used the word... She used the word pamyatnik. Means a memorial of some kind. She said it was good for Outlanders to see and remember the struggle and the fight for eternal vigilance. Huh. At least I think that's what she said. You gotta remember, it's around 100 years since I learned Russian, and it's gotten a bit rusty since then.
They soon came across another compulsory work gang, but Christy spotted the Sekhmen early enough for them to duck back up a side alley and loop around the detail. The tumbled wreckage of what had once been a massive sports arena told them that they were moving in the right direction. At last, in the distance, they could see the line of white buildings that the woman had described to Rick.
That's it. All we gotta do now is go on in and pick out whatever it is that we need.
What's that?
Christy pointed to where a long line of people seemed to be waiting patiently around one side of an ancient yellow stone building, dotted with ornate windows and a carved portico.
There's a sign.
Where? I got this goddamn sleet all over my glasses.
Above the main door. It's in that Rusky writing. Can't make it out at all.
Wait.
Rick fumbled under his fur coat for something to wipe the smeared lenses, finding a length of stained cotton waste. He bent over and sheltered the glasses from the wind, putting them back on his beaky nose when they were clear.
Oh, I see.
What?
Pamyatnik.
Christy gripped him by the arm, making him wince.
Just tell us, Rick. That was the word you said before, isn't it?
Yeah. Now I know what it means. I was nearly right before, memorial. I was real close to it.
And?
Amazing. It's a sort of museum about the struggle of the Russian people against the warmongering United States.
Ryan looked at Rick, wondering if he was joking. He saw by the expression on his pale face that he wasn't.
Kind of museum of the last war, you mean? Let's all go and take a look.
Ryan glanced at Christy, seeing his own interest reflected in her face. She shrugged.
Hell, why not? Let's tag on to the end of the line.
The tall flank of the old building sheltered the queue from the worst of the wind. As they all shuffled slowly onward, various street traders came along the line, offering various kinds of food and drink. All three of the friends were tempted by the delicious smells that came from the little carts. It took the companions the better part of an hour to get close to the front of the line. Every now and again, a bored female Sek guard marched slowly along the line. Ryan noticed that nobody would meet her eye, so he did the same, staring at his feet, hoping that she wouldn't notice the steel-toed combat boots that peeked from under the trailing hem of the stolen fur coat.
What'll be inside? Pictures of captured nukes?
Wait and see. I just wonder why so many folks are lined up in shit weather like this.
Rick tapped the young man in front of them on the shoulder and asked him a question. The Russian looked puzzled, and Rick spoke quickly, gesturing with his hands. The young man nodded and smiled, speaking quickly to Rick, who smiled in return, showing his understanding of what was being said. Once the Russian had turned away again, Rick gave them a hasty translation.
Okay, first off, he was kind of curious how come we didn't know why so many were standing in line. Like everyone knew that, dummy. I said we were Outlanders, and that was okay. Seems you get no choice. Everyone in the Ville has to come here every 3 months to get the date stamped on a card. They have to turn up.
Card?
Yeah, but relax.